Hi there, everybody. Welcome to The Principal Entrepreneur. I'm your host and author of the upcoming book, How to Be a Great Principal, Jonathan Royce. This is episode 93 of The Principal Entrepreneur, where we support educational leaders with strategies and suggestions that answer the question, how do I become a great principal? I also interview principals in school and educational leaders just like me and you and discuss their areas of expertise and how they overcome the challenges within schools. Today we're talking with elementary principal Mr. Jonathan Wenstrom. Mr. Wenstrom has been in the educational arena as a principal for 15 years. He is an educational blogger and is a part of a committed group of educational leaders who believe that blogging is part of the reflection process. We'll chat with him about the genesis for the blog in a bit, but before we do, let's get into his origin story. Mr. Wenstrom, welcome to the show.
Hi, Jonathan. Thank you for having me. I'm honored.
It is my pleasure to finally get a hold of you. You and I have been bouncing emails back and forth and trying to get in contact, so I appreciate you taking the time today over our summer break and joining us on the show here. Before we get into kind of the blogging piece and how you got started in that and why you choose to do that, let's talk about your educational journey. How did you or what inspired you to become an educator?
Well, like a lot of teachers and principals, it started with great teachers of my own that I had. I had some fantastic teachers, coaches, who were role models for me and made me think that this is what I want to do with my life, make a difference, you know, connect with students. And from fairly early on, I knew that I was going to be doing something with education. And it just, those people who inspired me made me want to help inspire others. I started off, actually, I was going into secondary education. But during the summers, I was lifeguarding and teaching swim lessons for students from age 5 to 10. And it was just a ball. I enjoyed doing it. And after, I think, my second year in the education program, somebody said to me, you know, you really should look at elementary ed. You just have a great connection with these kids at this age. And I thought to myself, yeah, why am I not doing this? I loved what I was doing during the summer, and I thought, why not continue to do this? So I switched over my senior year and from secondary to elementary, and never regretted it since. It's been a great journey and a great career of being able to work with elementary age students and teachers.
You mentioned teachers and coaches that were a positive influence on you. Was there a particular coach or teacher that, when you think back onto that experience, it was, you know, I want to be like that particular coach or teacher, or was it just a culmination of all of them?
Well, I had several, but to be honest, there was one that stood out. I had a teacher in fifth grade, Mr. Reed, who just was an inspiration to me. My father was ill often when I was growing up with kidney disease. He was often in the hospital. And Mr. Reed really helped out our family. Sometimes when my dad would have to go out of town for surgeries and things like that. We grew up in a pretty small northern rural town. So the big hospital was about an hour away. I would stay there with he and his wife, who was also a teacher, so that I wouldn't miss school. He was a director for the drama club, and he got me involved in theater. And it was just, he inspired me, like I said, in one of my blog posts at one time. I didn't know at the time if I was going to be a teacher, but I certainly knew what kind of man I wanted to be. And so he probably most of all inspired me to go into education. But I had a lot of other great teachers, wrestling coaches, and sports coaches as well, too, who inspired me.
You said his name was Mr. Reed?
Mr. Reed, yes.
So did I hear you say that you stayed over at his house?
Yep. He would, because sometimes my mom would have to go down to stay with my dad in the hospital, and sometimes I would miss school for several days at a time. And so Mr. Reed and his wife helped out and let me stay with them in their house and actually took me into school. I think I was ended up staying there for about a week or so, and maybe sporadically a couple other times here and there. But, you know, moments like that really make a lasting impact on you.
Right.
Just the kind of people reaching out and helping out others.
And that's, in today's society, that's one of the things that I think we're missing. Everybody's so afraid to be human and you know, put a hand out to help people because we're so afraid of getting sued or something. You can't even take a kid home who you know is struggling because you're worried about, you know, being sued, or, you know, the districts don't even really allow it anymore.
Right. That was a different time in the early 80s, but yeah, it certainly, you're right, a different world, different time, but certainly made an impression on me and really helped out our family.
Right. So, you know, you had that person in your life helping you as you overcame some of your family challenges. As you think about the challenges that you've had as a principal, what has been your most challenging experience?
Well, in 22 years total of education, I would say my most challenging experience was there was a time after, I believe it was 6 years of being an elementary principal, I actually left the public schools for 3 years. I went to work at a small community college in the community that I was living in. It sounded like a great opportunity, and I was thinking, you know, at the time, I was looking more at titles rather than what I was doing. And when I got in there, I was doing all of the things that I don't like about my job, which are budget sheets and planning committees and so forth,
right,
and not doing anything connecting with staff and certainly not students. And it was a real challenging point in my life, not only because of that, but also I had been working in the public schools for about 10 years, and I had a real good reputation and a real good relationships built with my staff. Well, when I went over to the other institution, I just thought that those relationships would follow over, my reputation would bring me in, and our team would start instantly from the ground when I came in. And that was a huge learning experience for me. I didn't take the time to build relationships. I didn't establish, you know, team norms. And it was something that, quite frankly, I never recovered from. What ended up happening was 3 years later, I ended up returning, thankfully, to public education as an elementary principal. But I've carried that lesson with me throughout my career, that relationships aren't transferable. And so it's helped me along the way because I've been in many different buildings, several different districts, and I've used that lesson with me everywhere I've gone of saying, okay, step one, always, 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 is build those relationships. Find out about my team. Find out about them personally. And once those relationships are in place, then we can get together and start working as a team. I'm actually making a transition this summer. I'm moving to a new building in Livonia Public Schools. And again, I will use that lesson I've learned from my past of taking step one of building relationships with my new team. And so that's how we will start. So
You learned that lesson about the importance of relationships and them not transferring. What specific steps will you take to build relationships? Do you have a sequence that you go through? So if there's another principal that's kind of going through something similar, what advice would you give them as they transition to a new school as well?
Well, in one word, I would say time. You need to put in the time to do this. So it's actually, there's many steps involved. I started already, before I even met the team, of sending out an email, sharing with them my philosophy on education. And then I followed up that with a list of questions for them. I wanted to know, you know, what are your points of pride? What are your traditions that you want to see continue? What are your proudest achievements? What are your fears? What are your hopes? That has helped me of gleaning through those of saying, okay, here's some common themes that are coming up. And then, of course, taking the time to meet with them and get to know them and making sure that I've already come over to a couple staff meetings to meet with my new team when they were still, before I'd even made the change.
Right.
But we are going to have some social get-togethers this summer because I felt it was important before we step through the door on day one, before the teachers return, that we have an opportunity. It's not a requirement, but it's an opportunity for people to get together socially, you know, whether it's a backyard barbecue at my house, whether it's meeting at a restaurant, to just talk
right.
and get together and learn about one another. Then we can take the time when we actually get back into school to work as a team to help each student succeed.
That's great. And that makes me think about the blogging that you've been doing for a while and the group of principals that you've created, what you just kind of laid out. I'm wondering if there's a blog post that at the end of this conversation you can point to where we can get that list there that you just rattled off. I think that would be extremely valuable.
Sure. Well, I probably will be, as I continue this journey into a new school, I'll certainly be blogging about it and some of the steps that I've taken and just some of the reflections that I've made. I actually started my blogging journey, I believe it was 4 years ago, and I actually was at a MEMSPA, Michigan Elementary, Middle School, and Principals Association, with Ben Gilpin. And I can't say enough about Ben. He is the person who started me on blogging. He was sharing how he had blogged and what he had learned from it. And I left that session with a desire to, and I told my staff, to communicate with them in a more dynamic way. I had been sending out a weekly newsletter update that was, quite frankly, pretty lame. And I thought, okay, this is something that hopefully they'll get excited about. I'll enjoy creating it more. And what I did is I started putting my own philosophies in, my own reflections, which often involve mistakes I've made throughout the years, and encouragement. I want every blog post to end with some type of positive, something that we've taken away and about our profession and about ourselves. So for the first year, I only sent out my blog to my staff. It was a year later, so 3 years ago now, when I got into the world of Twitter, where I started putting my blog out on Twitter. And much to my surprise, other people outside of my school enjoyed reading them and would give me comments. And that led to meeting with virtually meeting with Jennifer Hogan and Craig Vroom, who had actually started up the Compelled Tribe of Bloggers, and they had people from all over the country. So they asked me to be, they felt that the tribe was growing enough so that they needed three leaders in the tribe.
Right.
So I ended up starting or bringing in a third tribe, and so now the three of us coordinate and set out blog themes, I will say, and encouragement for the group, for principals, and even there's a few teachers in there as well from all across the country. And it's been an incredible learning experience for me because now, in addition to sending out my own reflections, I get to read and learn from so many other educators across the board, and it's helped me grow in my own profession as well.
What are what's one of the common themes that you find yourself writing about?
Well, at the beginning of each month, we send out a message. So Jennifer, Craig, and I talk usually, at the end of the month and say, hey, what would be a good theme? We kind of toss out ideas to each other. And then we'll send an email to the entire group. So there may be 15 in my group, 15 in Jennifer's, and 15 in Craig's, but we'll send out a common message. And so a common theme might be something like, what have you done this past month, or what are you going to do this month that you have not done before as an educator, to push your thinking or to get out of your comfort zone. Or it might be something like, You know, reflect on a teacher that encouraged you and inspired you. You know, what did they do to help you? And, you know, have you reached out to that person and told them? So it might be a theme on gratitude. But it helps kind of prime that pump for ideas for what to write about. And then on the third week of every month, we all read each other's posts and make comments on one another. Now, Craig Benneper and I tried to do that throughout the month. But for the team, if everyone's at least writing one blog post and doing a third week of something on their own and reading and commenting on others, it really helps that process grow and stimulate each other's thinking.
Right. So for our listeners out there, if they go over to the blog, what are some of the lessons that they'll learn from reading that?
Well, again, the biggest thing they're probably going to get of reading my blogs would be my philosophy on education. You'll hear about, you know, again, reflections that I try to talk about, ways that I've grown as an educator, ways my thinking has changed. Maybe it's from a single incident. Maybe it's over time that I've learned that.
Right.
And then hopefully a sense of encouragement. I try to include some humor in my posts and encouragement to remind teachers that, you know, what we do is pretty special. And, you know, our results, we might not even see them for years to come, if ever, but we're changing lives. And then that's pretty important. And so I try to always include a lot of gratitude in my posts for educators who are in the classroom, who volunteer, whatever their role may be in the building. If you're working in education, you have a pretty special calling.
Right, and I think that idea of gratitude and on the one hand, and then especially when we're talking about today's society where education is not, you know, the most high status of profession, being thankful
right.
for the little things and getting the encouragement from the peers, I think that matters.
Absolutely. We need to build each other up, and we need to tell our stories of the great things that are happening. You know, the other thing is, I've written a couple of posts about it, is commonly when I talk with educators, I mean great educators, people who are doing fantastic things, the first thing they'll say to me is, yeah, I would start a blog except for I don't have anything important to say. And I want to break that cycle of thinking, because I see fantastic things happening all day long with teachers, and they don't think it's that spectacular, or they don't think anyone else wants to hear about it.
Right.
And I have found that to be the, you know, contrary to what, you know, people like hearing ideas and seeing what other people are doing, and we learn and grow from each other.
Right.
So I want to break that, and I'll be honest with you, I used to think that as well, of saying, well, who wants to read one of my blog posts? What I found is, people want to support and encourage each other. And so my biggest advice for people is just to start. Go out and share what you're doing, share what you're thinking, and share your reflections. It will help others grow.
And that's similar to where I am in the podcast arena, trying to get principals to you know, get on the podcast. Everybody who's in the business is working hard. They're doing some great things, but just like you said, in terms of blogging, they don't recognize the greatness that they're doing. So, getting you on and getting other guests on to share what's going on, it shows that, you know, everybody's got something that we can learn from.
That's exactly right. Everybody has something we can learn from. I truly believe that.
So we're on the same road.
You bet.
As we finish up here with the last couple of questions, if you were to give one piece of advice, you know, you've been in the game for at least 15 years. What advice would you give to new principals? You can pull it either from your blog or from your own experiences. What would that advice be?
For new principals, don't be afraid to say the words, I don't know. I think that too often, especially for new leaders, there's a pressure to feel that you have to have all of the answers and that you have to fix every problem. It's okay to say, I don't know, or I'm going to get back with you, or let me think on that. I feel a lot of the mistakes I made early on as a principal were from the fact that I felt that I needed to be able to hand out an answer immediately, and that I had to have all of the answers. I feel now that I really want to grow the leaders in my school. I think it was Tom Peters that said, leaders don't create followers, they create more leaders.
Right.
I truly believe that. I feel that good principals will grow the leadership, and also, especially for a new principal, lean on that experience around you. My guess is if you're a new principal, you've got an expert in your building for literacy, or you've got an expert in your building for technology, or whatever it may be. You know, collaborate with those people. Use their knowledge. You know, so when people come to you and say, hey, you might want to talk with Cindy because she's really good with that. And I think the more we grow that leadership in our building, the more it helps us become better leaders, because then people will be more willing to, you know, come to us if they've made a mistake, or if they're wanting to try something new. If they're feeling safe in that environment and empowered, then I think it helps everyone in the organization.
Right. One of the things that I worried about, so I'm just now entering my second year, and like you were saying, one of the things that I worried about, I wasn't afraid of asking for help. I was afraid of what that perception would be of me because I was continually asking for help. So I found that it actually created more trust because they saw that I wasn't afraid to say that, just like you said,
you
that
bet.
I don't know.
You bet. I think it shows strength when you say, you know what, this is what I know and this is what I don't know, and if I don't know it, I'm going to lean on the others around me who may.
Yeah. So last question of the day here. Looking at your blogs, I'm assuming that you're also a reader. What are two books that have had an impact on your professional philosophy?
Well, my first book, I've got to shout it from the rooftops, is Teach Like a Pirate. When I read that book, I was in my 20th year as an educator, and I read that book, and I highlight a lot when I read educational books, and I was highlighting that book left and right of saying, yes, or I agree, and by the end of that book, I thought, this is what I've felt about education for so long, and it was like somebody put it into words of what I think about teaching, you know, that there should be excitement and that learning should be fun and that, you know, great lessons don't just happen. They come from, you know, blood, sweat, and tears, and some work, some don't, but it's that process of continually learning and collaborating, and he talks about life-changing lessons, and I just, when I read that book, I thought, yes, this is what I think about teaching, and I shared it with every one of my teachers, and I just thought it had such a profound influence on me of saying, okay, I felt like I was in year one again, and it was a great feeling. The other one I'm going to cheat on here, I'm going to give you two because they go so closely together for me. I read Mindset by Carol Dweck, and it was a game changer for me because I realized that for much of my career, I have had a fixed mindset.
Right.
You either have it or you don't, especially when it comes to leadership. I used to feel that, you know, you either had that leadership gene or you didn't. And after reading that book, I'll be honest, at first I was embarrassed. And then as I look back on my own thinking of how I've changed in that thinking and saying, no, leadership is a skill. It's a set of skills that people can learn and improve, just like anything else. And then right on the heels of that, I read The Innovator's Mindset by George Koros. And to me, it was like taking those lessons learned from Carol Dweck and putting them into the classroom. of saying, how can we as educators continue to learn and grow and not just engage students but empower them? And so those three books really have dramatically changed my thinking on education and, quite frankly, have made me a better educator. It's made me want to learn more, read more, and connect more with other people. Now, people like you, Jonathan. I mean, I'll be honest, I attribute a lot of these connections that I've made in the last few years, you know, to changing my own mindset. And it's helped me connect with, you know, just, you know, from you and I of connecting and I think learning from one another. So, yeah, those have been game changers for me, and I hope others can learn from them as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I really liked mindset as well. Just, I have dyslexia and ADHD, and reading that that book really puts into perspective that idea of being a continual learner.
You bet. You bet.
All right, man, that is it for today, and I appreciate you taking the time to join us.
You bet. I appreciate the opportunity.
Once again, that was Jonathan Wenstrom, elementary principal and educational blogger. A couple of his tweetable quotes included, "Everybody has something we can learn from," and "Don't be afraid to say the words, I don't know." Some of his wisdom that really impacted me was when he said, "It's important that before we step through those doors on day one, before the teachers return, that we have an opportunity for people to get together socially to just talk and get to know one another." One of the pieces of advice that he has for new principals included a list that he asks his staff as he starts a new school or starts at a new school. And that list included asking, what are your points of pride? What traditions do you want to continue? What are some of your proudest achievements? What are your fears? And what are your hopes? A couple of the books that he recommended included Teach Like a Pirate by Dave Burgess, Mindset, The New Psychology of Success by Carol Dweck, and The Innovator's Mindset by George Koros. If you found this entertaining, educational, or cause for reflection, please share with your friends. For more short articles and tips that support educational leaders, check out my blog at howtobeagreatprincipal.com, and you can also order my newest book, How to Be a Great Principal, 36 Shared Leadership Success Strategies. If you're an auditory learner, you are in the exact right place, and you could download other episodes of The Principal Entrepreneur on iTunes and Podomatic. New episodes come out weekly, usually on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and if I am lucky enough to get somebody like Jonathan, then I put those out on Saturdays. To join the podcast as a guest, email me at jonathanroyce@theprincipalentrepreneur.com. Finally, I'm part of a community of supportive principals. Please join our private Facebook group on, obviously, Facebook. Go to the search bar and type in Principal Entrepreneur, and the group will pop up, and I will be happy to add you to the group. That is it for this episode of The Principal Entrepreneur. Thanks for listening, and have a great weekend.